Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. We're going to go through a time of worship, a time of prayer, and then we're going to hear a message. And at the end of this video, there will be some reflection questions for you to discuss with your family, with your friends, or with yourself. Let's join in together.
Oh, Hi, Lakeview. Let's pray together. You can add your prayers to mine in the silences. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your presence with us today. Even if we cannot meet together in this room, you connect us by your Spirit. Thank you. We offer ourselves to you as we enter into this intentional time of worship. As we quiet our hearts and open ourselves up to the work of your Spirit, would you comfort, convict, and transform us? We take a moment to open ourselves up to you. Life is not easy in the best of times, and we don't get it right all the time. But we know that your desire is not that we get it right all the time, but that we live in right relationship with you and with one another. And so we confess the ways that we have not loved one another and have not loved you the way that we should have. Would you forgive us? Would you reorient us again to your love and heal us, so that we can be agents of your love in the world? We take a moment to confess our sins. God, we want to ask you for what we need this morning, knowing that asking for what we need is a way of opening ourselves up to deeper trust and dependence. Would you help us? Would you give us wisdom? Would you take charge in situations we can't handle? We pray for our kids today. Would you restore connections in their lives that help tether them to the good world that you've created? Would you protect them from hopelessness? Would you give them new dreams and visions for their lives and for the world? We pray for those among us who are anxious and tired. Would you give us real rest and restore our energy? Would you help us rest in the gentle rhythms of grace? And for those of us who are struggling with unmet expectations, who are struggling to wait faithfully, please give us your peace. Please remind us of your faithfulness. We take a moment to ask for what we need. We pray for our city, our country, and our world. We pray for wisdom for our leaders as they discern the wisest way forward in these unprecedented times. Please give them wisdom and humility. We pray for our neighbors in the north as they continue to combat the spread of the virus. Would you, by your Spirit, protect them and bring healing? We pray for our city, our country, and our world. God, it is so hard to wait. And we are all waiting right now, our lives on hold. Would you help us to wait with hope, with the expectation that you are doing your work even if we can't see it? Would you use this time of waiting to hone our vision, to remove the expectations that keep us from being present in this moment, in this time? Would you teach us to be ready for you? Amen.
I find myself losing my patience more often than usual these days. My fuse is definitely shorter. Mind you, it was pretty short to begin with. And where I've noticed it most is in the grocery store. Have you lined up in a grocery store recently? Have you stood on those dots waiting for your turn? Have the lines ever been so deep that they go into the aisles and you have no idea where you stand compared to the other lines or when it's finally going to be your turn? It's in that moment I start to lose it. When my expectations are unmet, when there's a delay that I can't solve or control, and when I don't know how long this is going to take. And that is the feeling today's parable picks at. Today we're going to drop into a weird parable about ladies and their lamps, and that's going to lead us to think a little bit about unmet expectations, what it means to actively wait, and finally, how God's judgment is forever tied to companionship. Ready? Here we go. God's kingdom is like 10 young virgins who took oil lamps and went out to greet the bridegroom. 5 were silly and 5 were smart. The silly virgins took lamps, but no extra oil. The smart virgins took jars of oil to feed their lamps. And the bridegroom didn't show up when they expected him, and they fell asleep. So that's super weird. So maybe a little context will help us get a handle on this story. Now, wedding festivities in the time of Jesus carried certain traditions, including the bride and groom being accompanied by an entourage on the way to their wedding reception. Think of it like a parade down Main Street. Now, a parade is not a race. Instead, there's a lot of waving and streamers and floats and maybe a marching band. You get the idea. It's a processional that can't be rushed. And eventually, if you hold your spot, the parade will pass right in front of you. So in this story, the parade is God's coming kingdom. Jesus is the bridegroom, and we're the bridesmaids waiting with great anticipation in our spot along the parade route. But there's a teeny problem. This parade is taking forever. And it's so far down the road that you can't quite see it yet, and it's getting pretty late. The expectation is still there, but you're starting to get antsy. And that's where things get tricky for us, because we're not so good with delays. If anything, we've been formed in such a way that we have very little margin for unmet expectations. We don't have sight lines on what we want, what we feel is ours, on what's coming to us, and we get quite a bit anxious. Maybe think about it like this. So last week, I bought some shirts online. Now, you didn't think that I'd pick up my clothes from the local farm and feed store, do you? Actually, I do. Some of my best Western shirts have come from farm and feed stores, but not this time. This time, the shirts I bought came from an online shop in the UK. And once the package was shipped, I received a tracking number. And since receiving that number, I've tracked my shirts on their little trip around the world. Check it out, starting at the bottom. First, it was in Leeds, then in East Midlands, then a quick stop over in Germany, then Cincinnati, Ohio, and at last check, it's somewhere in the uncharted territories of southern Alberta. Now, I've been tracking the package because I'm anxious. I wanted to hurry up and get here. I want to know exactly where it is, and I have opinions, strong opinions, about the roundabout way it's getting to me. And sometimes I put those same kinds of expectations and demands on God and his coming kingdom. Same feelings. Hurry up! Where are you? I am waiting right here where I said I would be. You have my address. What's with all the delays? What's with all the detours? You and I, we can become so attached to all our expectations that it grips us with what Thomas Merton calls agitation. He says, in order to defend ourselves against agitation, we must first be detached not only from the immediate results of our work, and this detachment is difficult and rare, but from the whole complex of aims that govern our earthly lives. We have to be detached from health and security, from pleasures and possessions, from people and places and conditions and things. We have to be indifferent to life itself. In the gospel sense, living like the lilies of the field, seeking first the kingdom of heaven and trusting that all our material needs will be taken care of into the bargain. How many of us can say with any assurance that we have begun to live like this? For the ladies and their lamps, the bridegroom did not show up when they expected him to. And for us, it seems like our expectations of God and his coming kingdom are often missed. So perhaps the big question for us here is this: are you tracking your expectations? Like my globe-trotting shirts, are your expectations of God and his kingdom taking way longer to materialize than you think they should? When you track God's movements, does it seem like he's taking the long way? And is that leaving you agitated? Sometimes it feels like the parade of Christ's coming is never going to get to us. And the agitation that brings is tied into all the things and all the people that we worry about. And at its root, the expectation is that things have to go the way we have planned or the way that we have imagined them to go. But God really doesn't work that way. So instead of clinging to our expectations, maybe a better posture to take would be to just be ready for whatever God brings, whenever God brings it. And that's exactly what the next part of the parable leads us to. In the middle of the night, someone yelled out, "He's here! The bridegroom's here! Go out and greet him!" The 10 virgins got up and got their lamps ready. The silly virgins said to the smart ones, "Our lamps are going out. Lend us some of your oil." And they answered, "There might not be enough to go around. Go buy your own." And they did. But while they were out buying oil, the bridegroom arrived. And when everyone who was there to greet him had gone into the wedding feast, the door was locked. "Silly virgins, tricks are for kids." That was a joke for the adults that are around my age. They'll get it. But it doesn't seem like my jokes translate very well over the camera, do they? Moving on, the silly virgins, your Bible might use the words foolish virgins, refer to people who live by way of what they can see and what they can control. The wise virgins represent a wisdom and a trust that is rooted in faith, that is believing in something that you can't necessarily see and that you can in no way control. So by this time in the story, what was supposed to be a wedding feast has turned into a slumber party. Nobody's expectations were met, and the difference between the bridesmaids is that some were ready for their unmet expectations, and some we're not. So then what does that mean for you and I? I think it's this. The parable is challenging us, summoning us to be ready. Ready whether or not our expectations are being met. Ready for what? Ready to forgive. Ready to love. Ready to be surprised. Ready to help. Ready to speak. Ready to listen. Ready to wait on God and on God's timing. And just to be clear, that readiness, that waiting, is not passive. Instead, we could describe it as an active waiting. Think about it. In Scripture, those who are waiting actively. They know that what they are waiting for is growing from the ground on which they are standing. If we wait in the conviction that a seed has been planted and that something has already begun, it changes the way we wait for the future. Active waiting implies being fully present to the moment with the conviction that something is happening where we are. To wait actively. To be ready. To be wise, that is to have faith in something that you can neither see nor control, is to be present in this moment that we find ourselves in. And maybe that's the big question for us here. Are you present in this moment? Or are you still all wound up in your own expectations? Are you present in this moment? Or are you being silly, foolishly trying to control the things that you can't control? Are you present in this moment? Or are you at risk of missing the bridegroom that you've been eagerly waiting for? Ready or not, Jesus is up to something right now, right where you are. So with strength and courage and trust, will you actively wait for it all to bloom? Because just because you don't know when the bridegroom will arrive, it doesn't mean that he's not coming. And that's how the parable ends. Much later, the other virgins, the silly ones, showed up and knocked on the door saying, "Master, we're here, let us in." And he answered, "Do I know you? I don't think I know you." So stay alert. You have no idea when he might arrive. Notice, he does not say, "I never called you." He does not say, "I never loved you." He does not say, "I never drew you to myself." He only says, "I never knew you because you never bothered to know me." He's effectively saying, "We're strangers." He's saying, "You have no idea what I'm about, or what I've been up to." And it feels like this is the intersection where sin and judgment meet in this parable. And I think the warning to us is this. God wants to be known, and not merely a knowledge of God, but truly known, experienced, enjoyed, participated in, awakened to. And the judgment here, which sounds like the final judgment, comes in the form of, "We never knew each other. You never allowed yourself to become aware of me. And we don't know each other because you never cared about what I care about. You never looked after people like I look after people. You never did the things that I do. And so God's judgment lands squarely on those who want no part of him. And that judgment is, you get what you want, which is no part of God. And the last picture that this parable gives us of the final judgment is one where God slams the door shut on anything that is working against what he is working towards. And that, for lack of a better term, is called sin. And how is God going to sort all of that out? I don't know. But he insists that evil does not get the last word. So I, for one, am trusting him on that. And so, my friends, as you head into a new week, remember, the parade of God's kingdom is on its way. So sit tight. Don't bail early. Instead, be ready in a posture of active waiting. And don't forget, God wants to be known, experienced, and enjoyed by you. So, love God, love others, tell this story.
Thanks for watching. Some questions are about to pop up, so feel free to hit pause to reflect on them. We'll see you next Sunday.